Have you seen my copy of The Nation? Yep, it's under my stack of Sean Hannity books.
He's a troglodyte.
Well, The Nation is a crock of liberal pap. Hey, at least they're sticking up for Chuck Hagel.
Yeah, who was probably paid by North Korea to undermine our defense capabilities.
Are you really spouting back that nonsense from
Ted Cruz?
Oh, I love
how you're supporting a guy who wants to work with Iran. He wants to work with Iran.
Are you going to talk over me? Is that how this works?
Yeah, until you start making
sense.
Oh, you
disgust me.
You disgust me. You feel like fooling around?
No, don't touch me. Go get really hot over Mona Charon, you sicko.
I have, and I will, and it's your turn to unload the dishwasher.
You know what? Good, because I'd absolutely rather unload the dishwasher than have sex with you. Because the dishwasher is not full of crazy people-hating ideas.
No, because it's full of dishes.
Want to watch Walking Dead afterwards?
Totally.
Zombies unite us.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Today on the show, what's it like to be sleeping with the enemy, politically speaking? And now he's still smarting from his failed relationship with Kay Bailey Hutchison, Colin McEnroe.
I don't like to talk about it, but we're going to have to talk about things like that here today because that is, in fact, the focus of our show. We're going to spend some time talking to people who are in marriages where one person is a Democrat, the other is a Republican. Towards the end of the show, we're also just to sort of just for a change of pace, right at the end of the show, we'll talk to a Lutheran who's married to an atheist, you know, just to sort of break up the rhythm here a little bit. But right now we're here with Cynthia Farrar. She is the producer of Purple States. Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. In 2006, she launched Purple States, a video production company that brings the voices and experiences of ordinary people into the coverage of politics and policies that affect them. And for then very specifically, she got interested in these kinds of couples. And one of these kinds of couples is sitting right here in the studio. April Shines and Otis Dancy are with us. You're going to meet them in just a second. You'll meet another so-called purple couple as we go on here. We'd love to have you participate, too, either in the form of your stories about trying to merge your personal lives despite different political belief systems, or your simple expressions of astonishment that this can happen. either way, you may tweet us at WNPRColin as we go along. So, Cynthia, I'm going to begin with you. I just attempted to summarize using actually your own materials what it is that you're doing, but maybe you can give us more of a sense of this. How did you get interested in the whole idea of couples where there are sort of opposing political viewpoints?
Mm-hmm. Well, one reason I started Purple States was because I thought that ordinary people deserved to be heard mm-hmm. on the issues that affect them and on politics, and that it was important to bring different points of view into the same space, which doesn't happen as much as it should anymore, at least in a civil way. And red and blue couples occurred to me because early on I encountered people who were very interested in Purple States precisely because they were part of such a couple. And as we moved from 2008 towards 2012, partisanship was getting so intense that this seemed like a really interesting way to see whether ordinary people actually can make connections across difference that our elected officials seem to have such trouble doing.
You know, this might be a question more appropriate for later in the show after we've talked to Otis and April and some of the other people, but I'll ask it now anyway, because I think for a lot of people, for me, I'm sort of in that category of I could never, you know? I mean, I think I spent one night at a political convention dancing with a young Republican woman. That's about it for me. I've just never had a relationship with anybody who wasn't a Democrat and probably a pretty little liberal Democrat at that. So I'm probably in that I could never category, except – but I'm wondering, now that you've had all these conversations, when you hear somebody say, I could never, do you think, oh, yes, you could, you just haven't met that person?
Yes, yeah. I do think that. Because part of what comes across, I think, in the video that we produced with these five couples – is that there is something in the other person that they really get and they resonate with. And somehow, I mean, one of the things we might talk about is whether that's connected to the political difference or whether it's that it's somebody's temperament or it's somebody's values in a way that aren't reflected in the political differences.
Well, there's no reason to leave this at in the realm of abstraction. We have a couple right here, although I can't see April Shines is now hidden by a computer monitor. I can barely see her over there, but I know you're there.
I think that was purposely done.
Yeah, that's right. And so, April, I'm going to start with you. First of all, prior to meeting Otis, Were you an I could never? Were you somebody who couldn't imagine yourself in a relationship with a Democrat?
Actually, no, because I'm an African-American female. Mm-hmm. The likelihood that I would find another African-American Republican right. is slim to none. So I always understood that my dating pool would have to include liberal Democrats. So I think where Otis and I differed was a whole bunch of other stuff. But
oh. but well, you had other things.
Oh, yeah. yeah. So even Otis, beyond that.
Otis, how did you guys meet?
Actually, we met in a nonpartisan race in a city race. I was working for somebody running for council president, and she was working for somebody running for city council. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've been working the campaign circuit for a long time and hadn't seen this pretty lady before. So my first thought was, okay, who's this?
And what did you do about that first thought?
Well, actually, as she says, we were both handing out literature, and I sort of followed her around handing out the literature. And then the candidate that she worked for, I actually knew personally. So as they were leaving, I sort of acted like I was trying to have a conversation with him when I was really just trying to ask him who she was.
And April, did you get what was going on here?
Not initially. It went over my head. I knew that this man was following me, and I knew that he kept staring at my shoes. So I thought maybe he thought I had nice feet. And as I was walking, I saw he talked to my candidate, and then he talked to several other staff members. And again, when I'm working, I'm just in that zone. So someone else said, you know, I think he likes you. No, not him. He's not looking at me. He just wants to network. But 2 weeks later, we talked, and then he asked me if I was interested in talking about politics over coffee. And I said, well, aren't we talking about politics now? Wait, are you asking me out? He says, duh. So, yeah, that was again, that conservative part of me. It just went over my head.
Yeah, I kind of had to spell that out for her.
Yeah, because it went over my head.
Because she kept going, well, we can talk about politics now. And I said, excuse me, I'm asking you out on a date.
And how long between that and your first argument about politics?
Well, it sort of had to wait because of the fact that that race was nonpartisan. Yeah. It wasn't until about 2010 when I think we had the governor's race, mm-hmm. and I think that's when the partisanness started to begin.
And so, but you must have known anyway, pretty much from the get-go. I mean, just as you began sharing your lives and details of your lives, April, you must have known there were some stark political differences.
Foundationally, we actually don't have a lot of political differences. I think the differences that we have may be on how to govern with leadership. But foundationally, we're actually very similar. But we talked about our differences from the very beginning. He knew that I was Republican. He knew that I come from a mainly Republican family. And he looked at me as if I were a unicorn. And he continued to date me anyway because he just thought I was that pretty.
You know, we'll come back to that because I think that's it's sort of an interesting difference between men and women, I think. I could be wrong about that. But I just want to go back to that word foundationally. Explain more what you meant about, because I think this is important in terms of, I think, what Cynthia is working at and in terms of this story overall. When you say foundationally, you guys are similar, what do you mean by that?
I mean that our faith is very important to us. Mm-hmm. Although I'm Southern Baptist and he's Catholic. Mm-hmm. The fact that, again, one of those many differences, we've learned that faith is important to us. We have values where we prioritize one another's goals and careers. We value our honesty with one another. We also have always, and I love this about him, when we're going to do something, we try, and he had to get used to this because he was used to just bulldozing through and doing it on his own. But he had to take into account there was another person attached to each and every decision that he made. And so it had to be done with us in mind. And everything that we've done, even besides the political format, but keeping those standards for us to maintain our relationship as a couple, that's where we started off foundationally.
You know, it seems to me that when you enter into a relationship like this one, the two of you probably work out your own separate piece about this, you know, and maybe it's not always peaceful, but it's mostly peaceful. And you learn to understand one another. Right. I would think one of the times that it might get a little bit more complicated is if you're at a dinner with all of her Republican friends, or you and she are out bowling with all your Democratic friends. And certain things get said because people tend to talk like, you know, we're all the same.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so how do you guys handle a situation like that?
Well, that did happen to me because one
regularly,
time.
Regularly, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. One time, I think one time especially I think of is when they had a big Republican meeting in Georgia. I believe it was in Macon. And she took me with her, and
she's having flashbacks.
Yeah, because it was not fun for me. I mean, some of the discussions, and I would talk to them, and she would sit there going, "Oh God, please be calm, please don't
blow up." He was breaking out in hives. He was itching,
because I was so outnumbered, and then her friends would. We would talk about, you know, just some of the hot button issues, and I'd sit there, and she would like grab me and go, "Okay, you're in my field. Don't say anything. Don't say anything."
And then they would look at him and say, "Oh, she's not with him." And they'd sit next to me and try to talk to me as if they could ask me out on a date. Like, "Hey, you know, liberal conservative sister, that guy looks like he's a liberal. You're not talking. No, really, he's my fiance." And I need you to move over before he dots your I. But I've had experiences like that with him. His best friend is atheist. Mm-hmm. And we spent Christmas. So our lives just reflect that on a regular basis. We teach solidarity.
And also when I first started dating her, in Atlanta, most of my friends are they're all Democrats. Mm-hmm. And they're all like wondering if I'm going to start all of a sudden working for Republican candidates now, if she's going to talk me into doing that.
Because he's that easily brainwashed.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to have lots more of Otis and April, but before we do that, let's hear from one of Cynthia Ferrer's other couples. This is Don and Ann. We talked to them a couple of days ago. One of the so-called purple couples is Don Weinbach and Ann Reynoldson. They're joining us by phone right now. And I'm going to get Ann, maybe you can start out by telling the story. First of all, which one of you is the liberal? Which one of you is the conservative?
I'm the liberal.
All right. Don, has this always been the case? Have you always had differing political beliefs, or is this something that evolved over time?
Well, we've only evolved over the last 2 years, so.
Okay, you're still evolving.
Yeah, exactly. We're evolving, but I have evolved myself from a Democrat when I was 18 years old, and then am now a Republican. So I call that a great evolution.
And when you met Don, he had done this evolution. How soon did you know that was the case? I mean, did it come up right away, or did you get to know each other in other ways for a while?
How soon did I know that he had unevolved,
I like that term. But just how soon did you know that he had a different political mindset from yours?
Oh, pretty much immediately. It was pretty apparent, and I think it came up actually in a phone conversation we had. I think before we even had our first date, we had very clearly different opinions about education reform, and it was almost a deal breaker.
Yeah, we almost didn't go on the first date because we had an argument about teacher unions.
What was the first date?
Well, our first date was at actually the Bedford Post Inn, which is in Westchester, New York. Mm-hmm. Really beautiful little spot, one of my favorites. And we met for dinner and drinks on the patio. It was the beginning of summer, and it was a really wonderful first date. Mm-hmm. And even after we'd had that discussion where, I was thinking, I don't know about this, after the first date, I was pretty sure I wanted to get to know him better.
And so on the first date, Don, based on the previous phone conversation, did you guys either consciously or on an unspoken basis for that first date, did you mainly talk about movies and stuff like that rather than get into stuff that you already know?
Yeah, I think I was very diplomatic. I wanted to make sure that I got to know her better on a different level.
Yeah, I would say that I definitely consciously avoided going to any of those topics based on the conversation we'd had previously.
You know, on the other hand, when I hear about couples who have different political mindsets, my immediate assumption, and I think it's wrong in your case, but you'll correct me if it is, my immediate assumption is, well, these are people for whom politics just isn't that really important. There's a whole range of other things that are more important. But my sense of you guys, even in this limited exposure, is that that's not the case.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Politics are very important to both of us, and we're both very, very passionate about our beliefs. But I think what's interesting about it is that it sparks a lot of very feverish discussions. And, you know, sometimes we have to agree to disagree. But, you know, you need to listen to the other side. And when you're married to someone who's on the other side, you know, you have to wake up with them day in, day out. And so it provides, like, a really important dynamic in the relationship, which I think would be beneficial to our Congress, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Colin, there are a lot of teachable moments, and I'm bringing her along slowly but surely.
What was the wedding like?
We actually got married here at home right after the hurricane, believe it or not. So we have a beautiful piece of property here in Westchester, and we have a pond out back, and we had a very intimate ceremony with family only, and it was just a beautiful morning after a terrible ordeal that week, and our generator was humming in the background. But nonetheless, it was a great day and something we'll remember forever.
I guess the reason I asked, too, is I did many, many years ago cover the wedding of then-Congressman Toby Moffett from Connecticut, who's certainly a pretty ultra-liberal congressman. And he married a woman of similar political disposition, I think. But she was from a Jesse Helms Republican family in North Carolina. I went down to North Carolina to cover the wedding. And it was like a real clenched teeth thing. I mean, they were just, you know, I mean, they were going to do it and they were going to be polite about it. But it was shining through at times that politically there was a real big difference. Sounds like your wedding small enough so that maybe the political side of it wasn't really a big deal.
Yeah, I don't think politics played a role that day, right, Ann?
No, I wouldn't say so.
One sense I'm getting from you is that one of the ways you deal with this is through senses of humor. I mean, I hear you kind of teasing each other.
Absolutely. I think sense of humor is so important, you know, in all areas of life, but in particular in this part of our lives. Don frequently, you know, he wakes up and he starts reading the paper and he goes into what I call his rant. He just starts ranting about various things. So my way of dealing with that, frankly, is actually just not to respond in that moment. And often then I will just comment on his ranting. And so that it does frequently end up with us laughing because we know that he likes to rant and then I like to come at it from a very different way.
But I tell you what, Colin, and I'll be very serious for a moment. I think that we, and I think this is a good lesson for the country, I think we tend to agree more than we disagree in the final analysis. We have very much of a common sense viewpoint, and there's not a lot of common sense going on out there. I think the political parties are so polarized that they're losing people like Anna myself. I think she was a devout Obama supporter in 2008. I think she was wavering this time around. I've been a Republican since, you know, probably the mid-1980s. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm thinking about being an independent. I think the parties are turning people off.
And that's more something that you, Don, attribute to the actual political climate as opposed to your purple marriage.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So Anne has had no influence over you whatsoever.
Oh, no,
not
at all. In
zero,
fact, you know, we'll continue to disagree, I'm sure. But I think we agree on where we need to go. We need to, you know, straighten out. We need to be more fiscally prudent. But, you know, it's just a matter of how you get there. You know, the ways that you get to the end goal is where we disagree. But I think that we have probably a higher level conversation. And we do try to make it humorous, but I think we have a higher level conversation than they do in Washington.
And would it almost be fair to say, and this is a serious question, is it almost a little bit more exciting because you do have this difference? You kind of got something to spar about that you know is going to be at some level entertaining?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that, you know, it's not certainly not something I would have ever thought necessary for a recipe for a successful or happy relationship or marriage, but I would absolutely say the fact that we have something that, you know, we can really spar at a deep level and feel passionate about and yet still come together, yeah, I would say that gives the whole thing a little more depth and fire.
Let me just ask you one more thing about that, because we know how that first phone conversation went. But let's say that you'd never heard Don's voice. You hadn't seen him and seen what an incredible babe he is. And all you heard about was, well, there's this guy and he's this and he's that. But he is a Republican. He's pretty conservative. Would that almost be have been a deal breaker for you to even make the first phone call?
Absolutely. Definitely. As a matter of fact, what I can tell you is that I went through a internet dating phase, you know, when I was single, and it was something that I tried, but absolutely when I was looking at profiles, I wasn't seeking anyone who wasn't a Democrat or a liberal.
Would you have been the same way, Don? Let's say you somebody said, I know this woman, Anne, she's totally hot, but she is kind of a liberal Democrat. Would you still make the phone call?
Hotness tops everything.
Yeah, that's for guys. That's the guy thing.
Absolutely. There's a double standard there. No, you know, I think Republicans are much more open-minded. Mm-hmm. So they're open to all parties. They're open to all
types.
Oh, dear
God.
Here we go. That was, he was just throwing some chum on the water there.
Yeah,
I think, just
to we love to do that.
Well, listen, it's so great to talk to you guys, and you sound like you're having a lot of fun, and that's the main thing to do in marriage. So thanks for talking to me today.
Yeah, well, thank you, Colin.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's Ann Reynoldson and Don Weinbach, and we'll be back with more.
Break my heart. So if you go for oysters and I go for oysters, I'll all the oysters and counsel the oysters, for we know we need each other so well. Better call the calling of all. Let's call the whole thing off.
This is our conversation about purple marriages. That's a marriage where one person is a Democrat, the other is a Republican. We'd be happy to hear from you either about your purple marriage. We have Christian on a cell phone we're going to get to in just a second here. Or you may have some questions for April and Otis about how they do it. You may tweet us at WNPRColin. Cynthia Farrar is the person who's been producing a video. Would you call this a video documentary? What do we call the project now? I know there's sort of a next level, right, a TV show?
Well, originally when I had this idea, I was hoping for a series either on television or online. But for the moment, was only able to produce a short online documentary composite that ran on – with five couples that ran on the Wall Street Journal during the inauguration. But actually, some people have suggested to me that we should do something like – do you know the British series 7-Up, 14-Up?
Yes, yeah, the Michael Apted thing, yeah.
Mm,
that'd be terrific.
Should come back 4 years from now.
I don't
now.
See why April and Otis can't have their own show anyway.
no.
I would totally watch it. Okay, so you set out to sort of meet these people, and I don't know if study is quite the right word, but you were really interested in the dynamics of these kinds of couples.
Mm-hmm.
Did the couples you meet, did they conform to your initial expectations, or how did they surprise you?
Well, first of all, I looked for them online primarily, as well as word of mouth.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I had never met April and Otis except remotely until this very day. Mm. But, yes, a couple of things surprised me. I mean, I expected that there would be more female Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But just how lopsided it was a little surprising to me.
So April's one of the outliers then.
She is. Yeah. So they're out of 35 couples that I – you know, learn something about, only five Republican women. Secondly, there were many more second marriages than in the regular population. So I think that's interesting because what you're, you know, how you think about yourself in relation to the first person you marry might be different than the second.
And I also, I mean, I'm interested to know if you, I mean, first of all, we've heard April and Otis, they're both funny people, and they got a good sense of humor. You just heard Don and Ann, they're funny people too.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm starting to wonder whether their sense of humor is sort of mandatory equipment for this.
Yeah, that might be. And that only came out once they started capturing footage of themselves. I mean, obviously that's important to come through in a video or on a radio show. But so I was probably, you know, selecting for those kinds of folks in any case. But,
I want to go back to April's term foundational, because I think it's a really interesting word. And I think it also – we'll get to Christian on the cell phone in just 2 seconds here. But I just want to come back to you guys for a second about this, because I think it also gets to the whole question of where we get our political beliefs from. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a Republican, he's a Democrat. But those are just labels. Those are just kind of words. So when we get past that word Republican, if I'm talking about you – and I say Republican, what do I really mean when I'm talking about you and I say Republican? And where does that come from for you?
When you're talking about me and you're saying the word Republican and you mentioned foundationally, mm-hmm. what you're really saying is that I, at the core, believe that there should be as little government involvement as possible when dealing with our issues. We hire our politicians to do certain jobs for us. And there are other jobs that we within the community can bond together and do ourselves. I also believe specifically in a lot of parental involvement, a lot of community involvement, a lot of efforts for us to resolve a lot of issues that are being squabbled about basically within our own communities. And specifically in the Black community, we've had to do that for so many generations, and it worked really well for us. And for some reason, we kind of moved away from that over the last 40, 50 years. We've moved further away from working within our community, building up our schools, building up our youth. And when you say that about me, that's what you're saying. You're saying, I believe in those things fundamentally. Okay. I believe in a lot of self-responsibility.
And just also, just real quickly, where did you get that? In other words, where are those the values that your parents handed to you?
Yeah, Grandpa. Yeah. my grandfather actually is Republican. Ironically, right?
Yeah.
And you will often find that a lot of people who've had military involvement tend to be Republican-leaning. And it just so happens that my grandfather was in the military. Most of the men in my family were in the military. I have 7 uncles and aunts. All of them have gone to college. I have 30-something cousins. All of us have attended college. Mm-hmm. So we're third-generation college graduates in America as Black people. You don't hear that very often. So I come from a family that's seen a lot of what most people have said you can't do when you put a lot of extra effort in. I've seen that you can. I've seen that those possibilities are there. So I'm coming from a slant that a lot of people have not experienced. On my end, what I'd like to do is to show that those scenarios are not only possible, but they're accessible to everyone else. And I think we just differ in how we make that accessible for more people.
Well, Otis, let's do the same thing. Let's say there's no such word as Democrat.
Okay.
Explain who you are without using that word.
Well, I grew up in Chicago. Mm. And basically, I grew up where politics was everything. Where I used to tell people you couldn't get a job as dog catcher unless you knew somebody. So I grew up knowing and basically leaning on government and the fact that, you know, how you got your summer job, how you, the people you talk to, the people you interact with, everything was based upon the government, everything was based on the city council, everything was based on your county commissioner or your committeeman or your alderman. And so I grew up with that, basically with that looking for politics, looking for your your representatives also to help you as far as your endeavor and to be a part of the process in moving yourself forward, even though you did things on your own, but you still look to that politician or look to that process to be an extra addition to help you move along, is where I grew up. And my mother was involved in politics heavily. I mean, I grew up, you know, protesting, since I was like 10 years old. My mother had me knocking on doors of Democrats when I was 10 years old. So I grew up, being part of that Democratic process.
All right. So it's in the blood for both of you. I mean,
purple marriage is in the blood. My grandmother was
liberal.
Grandfather's Republican.
So you've done this.
We've done this before.
All right. Let's hear from Christian on a cell phone. Hi, Christian.
I just want to say I love the show despite our political differences. I enjoy listening to it as frequently as I can. Yeah, I'm in a purple marriage, and my wife is a Democrat, and she's fairly liberal. I'm kind of a moderate Republican. I definitely don't fit into the traditional box. And as they told the screener, I thought about changing my affiliation to centrist party or modern Whig party. But we have, in terms of like foundational values, we have a lot of similar outlook on education and how we're parenting our child. We have a system of gold funds, so it works well. Interestingly enough, my in-laws are a purple marriage as well. And I know my father-in-law is a bit more to the right of me. He's been, sometimes gets a little more frantic about his issues. But, I just wanted to say, especially with regard to marriage, I couldn't imagine not marrying someone because of their political beliefs. That just is it's a foreign concept to me.
All right. Well, that's great. I mean, I'm, you know, the more that I think about this, the other thing that I guess I think about is sort of how there's sort of politics and then there's kind of style that goes along with politics. So there's like an assumption probably that you're a Republican. So I don't know. You like hunting. You like guns. You like Clint Eastwood movies. You like, you know, and you're a Democrat. So you like Woody Allen movies and natural fibers and you eat more vegetables than I don't know. What did you find stylistically or personally? What are the things, where are the places that you guys really connect? I'm looking at you, Otis. Either one of you can answer.
Well, I think we connect, like she said, on basic values. Like, you know, like the gentleman was saying, as far as education, as far as, you know, upbringing, as far as faith, you know, as far as values. I mean, the core values are basically the same between us. It's just a matter of how society, you know, deals with those values and how we move those values in a way in which society can build on them that we differ. As he said, she grew up with, you know, more of a, you know, I look at myself, I look what I'm doing, to where me, I grew up more of a town, this is us forming together and looking at the political process more. So I think it goes to how we get there, not what we want.
I would assume, though, that the past two elections would be pretty, the presidential elections would be pretty difficult, particularly for an African-American purple couple. So you got, I mean, the last election cycle, you got Obama running against Romney. I would assume, I mean, first of all, it's just in the news, it's in front of you every day, it's all, the whole country is just talking about this stuff. And you guys want, you may have the same value sets, but you want very different outcomes, which for a lot of people, it's almost impossible to reconcile the idea that you could have similar value sets, and yet you'd think the country's better off with Obama, you think it's better off with Romney. But what was this last election cycle like for you?
It was even more difficult because not only did we feel that way, but we were working towards those goals. We were on the opposite ends. He was working to support the Obama campaign, and I was contributing to make sure that Mitt Romney could have as much influence as possible. So it became very difficult for us. And we had some arguments, some knockdown dragouts about simple things like who was better qualified and whether or not it was both of them are Ivy League educated. Why are we looking at them differently? And then it goes into, well, this one had to work harder. Well, who says they had to work harder when you got there? So it got so nasty. I left him in the snow and went into Barnes & Noble and said, well, you can have this. You can stay right there with your Obama tag and stand right there in 32 degrees. I'm going to have some coffee. And talk to me, we can get some sense.
Do you want to say some more about that? I mean, how did that go for you? How was it having a Romney supporter in the House?
Well, it was kind of difficult, to be honest, because these totally different viewpoints would come up, and she would talk about it from, you know, like the Romney point of view, and I would say, there is no way you can believe that. You know, there is no way. How can you believe, you know, this? You know, I can't think of a specific
point. You can talk about the argument we had about
qualifications. She was saying they both came from Harvard, you know, so they're the same. And I was saying they're not the same. And I was saying how Romney got there with the silver spoon.
On paper. I'm just saying on paper.
See, there she goes again.
On paper.
See, there she goes again. Romney.
On paper. I didn't say character. I just said on paper.
And I was saying how Romney got there because, you know, his dad was governor. He had this easy road.
You're saying Romney was born on third base and Obama hit a triple.
Exactly. Obama was born in his home plate and Romney was at third base.
That really small one.
So my view was Obama had to work harder to get there.
Oh, yeah. Good for him. He still got there. I mean, yay.
You know, Cynthia, not that I want to put a pin back in this grenade or anything like that, but Cynthia, you know, for me, what Otis said a couple of sentences ago is I think it's the hardest thing for those of us on the outside to figure out that he and April have basically pretty similar core values. April said the same thing earlier in the conversation. And so I look at that and I sort of say, well, how can you have similar core values and then want something as radically different as, you know, as the outcomes of some of these elections turn out to be? I don't know. Did you get any closer to unlocking the mystery of this, how people can basically feel like they're on the same page in certain ways and yet want, to my way of thinking anyway, drastically different outcomes in history-altering events.
No, and that remained it remains a puzzle to me. I would only say this, and this was one thing that I also found surprising, and we ended up making at the core of this five-minute video, which is that all of these couples were wrestling with the idea that they had to reinterpret the other side's position in such a way that they could continue to see their spouse as caring, mm-hmm. as not selfish, as compassionate, as open-minded in certain ways, as Don joked about earlier. And that required a sort of wrestling with, you know, I need to see you as having basically that character that I respect and the basic values that I respect. And actually, I think that's one of the things that's so interesting here is because elected officials start from another place altogether. In a way, they're playing by the numbers, as you asked Don and Ann about. I mean, you're a Republican. You get this rating from the conservatives. You know, you're a Democrat. And we don't even get to the point of saying, well, look, maybe I should start from the premise that you, too, are a caring person and you care about the country. And then how could you have these views? And I think that would be a productive conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in some ways what you're saying is if there's a hope for a pretty divided country, it's there might be lessons in your marriage and the other marriages in this project because you start out loving one another and then kind of have to pull the other stuff into line. We've got a bunch of calls coming in here. Let me just grab Janice here in Wallingford. Hi, Janice. You're on the air.
A couple of things. My deceased husband was a Democrat, and I, until recently, was a Republican. I've gone independent since then. First, I think my husband was more surprised he was marrying a lawyer as opposed to a Republican. and I was more surprised I was marrying a redhead with a beard than I was a Democrat. But I think when it comes down to the relationships, I have a dining room table test that when you're sitting at the dining room table having a conversation about what's really going on in your own life, you need to be on the same page. The fact that you might actually disagree as to how you get there or, you know, issues in a broader scheme, that's fine, but you need to be on the same page as to where your ultimate decisions are going to be on your life. And frankly, that my dining room test applies to why I used to be a Republican, and that is I felt decisions made farther, the farther away a decision was made from my dining room table that affected my life, the more likely it was to be the wrong decision. So I thought that's why I was Republican.
And when you say decisions about where your life is going, or I mean, what kind of decision do you mean?
I mean, even like day-to-day decisions, you know, for one thing, you know, children. You know, although my husband was very liberal, when it came to kids, he actually had a far more conservative view than even I did as a conservative Republican. You know, those issues where, you know, politics somehow somehow get into the conversation, but the bottom line is you need to have a basic understanding as to where you're going in the end, and how you get there sometimes is not necessarily the important thing. I mean, if a Democrat argues it should be one way and a Republican thinks it should happen another, and that's why there's no compromise in Washington anymore. But marriage, that's what marriage is about. You figure out how you need, you know, your common goals and how you get there. And you can argue how you get there, but in the end, you want to be in the same place.
You know, I want to just go back. I want to jump on something that she said. Thank you so much for that, Janice, by the way. And just go back to you guys for a second here. Because, you know, because she was saying that, well, in some ways he was more conservative in terms of raising kids or something like that. And that's interesting because liberal and conservative are words that get used a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And so conservative sometimes means I want to do the same thing over and over again. I don't ever want to have pesto with turkey at Thanksgiving. I don't, you know. And liberal could mean I want to try a lot of new things. And as she's suggesting, in terms of being a disciplinarian, maybe a conservative. I don't know. Are there ways, Otis, that you're conservative?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I'm conservative in my faith, my Catholic upbringing. I'm very conservative in that way. I'm very conservative when it comes to, raising, like she said, in raising kids. I'm very, firm about what they can and cannot do. So I think in those two points, I'm probably very conservative.
And are there ways that you're liberal?
No.
I consider myself a little more moderate. Mm-hmm. But no.
You like to try new things?
We don't put the L word on. Yeah, no.
Do you like to try new things?
I do, but I don't consider that.
No, she doesn't.
Totally, no.
No,
she doesn't.
All right.
No.
All right.
But
so.
There was, to you all's point, with discussing how politics is within the country, and we're talking about liberals and Democrats and how we perceive them. Otis and I talk about this very often. There's a lot of confirmation bias that goes on when you start talking about it, where we're looking for certain things. We've been taught that conservative means this, liberal means that. And we're looking for things to confirm that that's what it is. We have the set expectation. If it doesn't resemble that, then it can't be that. Mm-hmm. When the truth is, it's a spectrum. You know, and there are certain people who run along the Jesse Helms line, and mm-hmm. then you have me. And then you have, the tree hugger. Yeah. And then you have Otis.
All right. That's the continuum right there. That's just right. All right.
And everyone in between.
We're going to take a real quick break here. We're going to meet a different kind of couple when we come back from this. Here we go.
Today's show was produced by me.
Well, technically, it was really me. I did most of the work. You were too busy listening to Rush Limbaugh. The point is, it was produced by me, Patrick Scahill, and Betsy Kaplan, with help from Heather Brandon. The part of Bill Curry was played by Ann Coulter. And now, back to Colin.
I also want to introduce the last little bit of this conversation. Maria Pyer is a Lutheran oncology nurse, and her husband, Mike Bixby, is a fourth grade public school teacher. You may have heard them on Morning Edition maybe about a month ago because she is, as I just suggested, a Lutheran and more than just a Lutheran and assisting minister in some cases within Lutheranism. He's an atheist. First of all, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Maria. Hi, Mike. So, Maria, you might have heard the tail end of our conversation about politics. You guys are dealing with something very different from politics, and you're dealing with something different from our conventional notion of a mixed marriage, too. You know, we think of a mixed marriage, and that usually means one faith system and another faith system, Jewish people marrying Catholic people, something along those lines. You guys, that's Cynthia, as it turns out. You guys are dealing with something else. One person believing in a God and participating actively in a religion, and the other one not. Do you think that's easier or harder? I suppose it's difficult to know about anybody else's reality. But do you think that's easier or harder than the Republican Democrat stuff we've been talking about here?
It's easier being married to a Lutheran than it would be to somebody. Than to a Romney supporter for me.
Okay. So politically, you guys are on the same page. Maria, when did you realize that Mike was an atheist?
I think as we were planning our wedding, that was kind of when it came most to a head. He hadn't been secretive about not being a believer. We had met at church 31 years ago because my dad was pastor, his dad was president of congregation. So, the context of our meeting was, a spiritual or religious context. So that kind of put me thinking when we got reconnected that we were still maybe similarly leaning. But, once we got back together, it didn't really matter what his faith was or lack of faith was because it was him.
Mm. Mike, with April and Otis, I get the feeling that I don't know if it comes up every single day, but does it come up every single day, your political differences, or only if there's a campaign going?
It comes up every single day. Okay. It really does.
And we talk about politics every day.
Yeah. Mm. So, and I'm wondering, Mike, for you guys, does it come up every day, the fact that you have this particular difference, or is it just come up when it comes up?
No, it's not an everyday thing. It comes up as it comes up. I guess holidays are a big time when she's working as an assistant minister. But I guess for us it's more a matter of starting off at different points, but we're ending up in a very similar area.
And Maria, since you guys appeared on Morning Edition, since your story got carried by NPR, have you been hearing from other people about this, from other people who are in similar kinds of marriages?
Yes, absolutely. My cousin married an atheist, and she had been a very kind of fundamental Christian. And so she really appreciated hearing what we had to say. My best friend is an atheist, and she's just thrilled that this is actually being spoken about. I was actually surprised at the level of kind of touching people that the interview had, that the piece had.
And you know, let me just follow that up, Maria. I think, you know, atheist is one of these words that I think it's almost scary to some people. It sounds scary. And so, I don't know, when you said to fellow Lutherans, oh, yeah, the guy I'm married to is an atheist, some people just kind of recoil in horror?
You know, one person I work with who's, again, kind of on the fundamentalist Christian level of things, said he felt sorry for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel sorry for myself at all. I don't feel sorry for Mike. You know, I think we're in a very fortunate place to be able to do this together. And so the response, certainly, like you say, atheist is a very button-pushing word. And I think the fact that it's being said on public radio is good for atheism. I mean, I think it's good for the opportunity to have this kind of discussion, because it is kind of the word that you whisper about somebody, you know?
Right. He's an atheist. And so just real quickly, because we're running out of time, Mike, you know, we've been listening to April and Otis and one of the other couples here sort of give us sort of a sense of, you know, how they deal with all this and the whole idea of kind of listening to one another and kind of assuming the best about one another. I assume this is the same in your marriage, that if you were constantly reminding Maria that, as far as you're concerned, a lot of this stuff is superstition or something like that, things wouldn't go that well. I mean, I assume you have to find a way to kind of listen and understand that she believes something that you don't believe.
Yeah, and I think that's what the key for us is we have a shared value system. Our purpose in life is to serve other people and somehow make this a better world for the people that we come into contact with. And, you know, that's where the whole atheism thing, you know, that whole button-pushing thing gets a little bit annoying, because that assumption that, well, you don't believe anything, so everything's fine and nothing matters. It's that we have a shared value system. And for me, it's an intrinsic source. It comes from myself. For Maria, it's an extrinsic source.
I get it. I get that.
Hey, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. We're going to have to wrap this up. You guys are great, though, and thanks so much for joining us. Cynthia Farrar has been here. She and I will be producing the April and Otis reality TV series, which will be launching on TLC in a year or so.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I think we're sitting on a gold mine right here. I don't know why we're sitting here on public radio talking to one another. We could make a lot of money. Thanks especially to April Shines and Otis Dancy for making the trip here. Back in, the more it happens, the more we know. The more it happens, the more we
I'm Kyone Wolf.
I'm Kyone Wolf.
No, we're not doing this. This is what everyone expects.
What, are you afraid that we're going to be, like, too predictable?
I love you.
I love you, too.